Now, if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And by the way, you'll notice that I listed as one of your textbooks the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Now, I'm PCA, and I know that the New International Version is considered the Bible of the PCA, but I object. I like the New American Standard Version. Especially do I like it for study, because it wrestles much more with the original language in trying to translate the linguistic nuances of Greek into English, whereas the New International Version is much more prone to translate the conceptual ideas from the Greek to English. And so I like this for study. New International is fine for reading, but I like this for study. Now, you don't have to go buy one, because I listed it on there as a text. You don't have to go buy a New American Standard. It'd be good for you to do it, but I'm not requiring it for textbook, okay? But I want you to bring a Bible. You'll need a Bible in this class. We will use our Bibles frequently in this class. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we find the Apostle Paul laying out for us the important characteristics of an elder, of a deacon, along with the book of Titus. Here we have 19 qualifications. Between these two books, we have 19 qualifications for elders and deacons. Of those 19, one is that you have to be a Christian, and the other is that you shouldn't be a novice. And the rest of them have to do pretty much with character traits, kind of person we are, the way we behave, the way we conduct our lives. I think a lot of times, and in one sense, we do this unintentionally somewhat in our churches, when we say we want our leadership to conform to these, and we set these up as the leadership standards. And I understand why we do that, because we're doing what Paul says we should do, in a sense that our leadership should come up to that standard. But in the process, many times we create an artificial standard for leaders that's not applicable to everyday Christians. And that's not true at all. What you have here is the minimal standards for leadership, and those minimal standards for leadership are in reality what should be the characteristics of a godly Christian. And that is the reason why I come to this passage when I have in your outline there qualifying your person. If you're going to be a biblical counselor, you need to qualify your person. And if you want to follow, you need to open your syllabus now, the thicker syllabus, and you can follow right down through the outline. Qualifying your person. And the first thing I have listed there is check your desire. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If a man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. Now, you don't necessarily have to aspire to be an overseer in a officer sense to aspire to be a counselor. But I want to tell you folks, when you're aspiring to be a counselor, you are aspiring to be an overseer. You may not have the office, deacon, elder, but your function will be that of an overseer. When you sit down to counsel people, people acknowledge your authority over their lives. The secular community recognizes that. It's a big issue in secular counseling, that you do not take advantage of your place of power. The best way I know to assure as a believer that you don't take advantage of your power is that you make sure that you fit these characteristics that we're going to look at. Check your desire. What is your desire? What is your motivation deep down inside for wanting to be involved in counseling with other people? Some people want to be in this kind of profession because it does give them power over others. Some people want to be in this kind of profession because they think they know it all and they want to make sure everybody else behaves the way they think they ought to. And I've seen preachers make that mistake.